Torchwood files have been activated. Enjoy the show.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Who, a Doctor Who podcast. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to start this week by welcoming back Lee Shackelford. Mr. Shackelford, how are you?
Very well indeed. Very well. It's a beautiful, beautiful weather here in North Carolina. And we live on a street where they take Halloween very seriously. So we've had to up our game and get out more decorations. And yeah, we've been told to buy lots and lots.
So that's why you asked me to send you all the pictures of me.
Exactly. Right? Blowing them up and put them in the windows. Yeah. So that's been a part of our week so far is bracing for at this counting, it's 9 days away, 9 days, the clock is ticking.
So it's,
but yeah, seriously, you need to see this street we live on. It's bananas.
So October the 22nd, as of this recording. So yes. What is there any event that you go through all this work and do you get any type of recognition for your work, or is it just you live here, you're expected?
It is part of the code, man.
Got you. But you know what else is part of the code? It's just part of the code. It's part of our DNA for me to say. Clarence Brown, welcome back. How are you, Mr. Brown? And you are muted, sir.
I'm doing pretty well. No complaints here as always. I'm glad to be on with you guys.
Good deal. You almost had me going with Silence Has Fallen. I guess I've had a little bit too much caffeine, maybe. Who knows? But I feel like my brain is on fire tonight.
Ooh. His brain is on fire. That's, yeah.
Hey, I'm usually going back and forth and saying to you guys, hey, it's getting late. My brain is dying.
All right, yeah.
But it's on fire. Maybe because I think we're planning a trip, maybe out into the country. Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah, take me out there and shoot me.
Yeah. Wow.
This keeps
get it over with.
Get it over with now. All right. Well, Clarence, let me ask you this. If we have someone listening or watching for the very first time, what do you like telling people?
Well, I like saying that you can support the show by subscribing, leaving a review, or telling a friend. If you have a review idea, please send that in along with anything else you want us to know to discussingwho@gmail.com or hit us up at discussingwho on any and all social media.
Indeed, indeed. And Mr. Lee Shackelford, there is something you also like telling people, and what would that be?
We know you got other things you could be doing, but you've chosen to spend this time with us, and we're very grateful. So welcome aboard. We'll try not to disappoint.
All right, gentlemen, I have one thing in the news that has come out this week. I know there have been left, right, and center. If I log on to YouTube, all I see is Doctor Who has been renewed, Doctor Who 2020, no new episode. I don't want to get into all that because I think at this point we're still speculatory and this is all speculation. Nobody knows until they make an announcement when and if and how and what the next iteration of Doctor Who will be at some point. But with that said, here is something that is not speculation. I want to give a congratulations. Well, first, for a belated happy birthday to Mr. Shruti Gatwa, but also congratulations for winning Best Actor this week at the BAFTA Wales Awards. So kudos to him. Best Actor for Doctor Who.
Golf clap for you, sir.
Indeed, indeed. You know, it's interesting how BAFTA, and I'm learning a lot as I get more into watching British television. You know, I did not know until I was wondering and looking at what the CYMRU, what that stood for, and I thought it was an acronym, and it's not. It's Wales and Welch.
That's the name of their country. Yep.
How do you pronounce that without?
I think it's Cymru. I think.
Really?
Yeah, I hope somebody will hear that and say, lay.
Well, regardless of if it's BAFTA, BAFTA Wales, or BAFTA 1 or BBC 1, congratulations for winning Best Actor. And as we have said, our hats are off to you. So, gentlemen, any other items before we move on? Any other things you guys want to talk about or discuss before we get on into the episode proper?
Let's do it.
I don't have a lot of notes about this episode, so yeah, we may need to stretch here. So. Well, that's the end of...
Well, you know, I know...
Maybe you do.
All I can say is no notes are literally a recipe for disaster.
Yep. I don't know. But yes, let's dig into this episode. Let's serve up a big slice of this episode.
Yeah.
Let's carve into this. And
absolutely. Because, you know, literally what we don't want is an overcooked spoiler warning. That's all I can say. For everyone listening, before we get any cornier, let me just say, if you have not seen this episode, put us on pause, go out, watch it, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers.
Affirmative.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
And I killed Sparky, too.
Alrighty, the spoiler warning has gone out, and we are back to review Countryside. This is the sixth episode of the first series of Torchwood, first airing on the 19th of November, 2006. I can't hold back speculation any longer. I have to know, Lee Shackelford, it's sounding like this is a favorite of yours. What say you?
I don't know. I didn't know what to think of it back then, and I guess I still don't. It's I saw it again and said, yeah, I remember all of this. It's just almost not a Torchwood. It's a haunted house, this episode, really. You walk through gross and startling things in the dark, and things reach out and grab you. You know, you scream. That's kind of what it is. But it's an exceptionally good haunted house for 45 minutes. And, you know, that's to be commended. I guess I don't know. We'll get into it. Cause I think there's something great that this episode puts forward as an idea, but that's about it. That's the only thing that it does. Really. Mm. So I,
you know. All right. I know we're about to give it to Clarence, but let me say this. You, I think, hit on something that I'm going to bring up. So that's interesting that you said that the way you did, that it presents ideas, but that's just about it. Clarence Brown, what say ye? Summary review.
And once again, I'm muted. Sorry.
For me, this one, I think I enjoyed it, but I will say the people eating people was not the scariest thing in this episode. I would say it was probably Gwen and Owen. Like, no. Oh, don't break my heart.
So you were okay up until that last moment of the episode.
Yeah, man, they really, I do not like them as a couple at all. And poor Reese. Oh, boy. We'll get into it. But man, interesting episode, a good episode for Halloween, I would think, since we have Halloween coming up. Mm-hmm. But I think I enjoyed it. Definitely a different tone. But I like sort of the subverted expectation part of that, but we'll get into it.
So I find myself, as I'm watching it, enjoying the watching of it. But what really, really stuck into my head was I watched this Sunday night, and I've said before as we were reviewing Torchwood, I don't remember most of these episodes. So sitting out and sitting down to it, I had absolutely no idea of what Countryside meant and didn't get it, didn't get the premise. So I feel like I'm watching it brand new. That being said, I sit down and begin to watch the ending because yesterday, I was like, oh, well, I must not have finished the ending, and then realized, oh, yeah, you did. Hmm. And I'm like, okay, well... And then we watched the last 10 minutes of it, and I was like, oh, okay. So if you know, it felt like it presented this, and that's why I attached with what you said, Lee. It felt like it just set up all this and then just, okay, that's it. Bye-bye. End of episode.
Well, it seems as if they left it open-ended on purpose, even when you have Gwen having the moment with one of the harvesters at the end, and she's asking them why. Even she doesn't get a resolution. So maybe that was the intent to kind of leave it open-ended a bit.
Mm. All right. Well, let me ask you this question. You know, we've already said this is Halloween. It's horror themed and it's outside the realm of sci-fi. In your opinion, does this fit with Torchwood?
That's kind of hard to say. Even they explicitly say it in the show about, you know, we're away from the city. Are we even near the rift? Like, what are we doing out here? Yeah. But I think what made it interesting for me is the expectation that it would be aliens at some point. And when it wasn't, I was like, oh, these are really just some sadistic people doing some pretty things that have been passed down through their culture or through the culture of this the village, the community, whatever. So, yeah, I think in that sense, it did not feel like a Torchwood episode. But the fact that it was Torchwood, I was always looking for that alien element to pop up somewhere.
All right. Same question.
It's the episode's one big idea that I spoke about. We are expecting that we're going to find out what species could possibly be doing these terrible things. Big reveal. It's ours. It's us.
Mm.
The end.
And, you know, this is the second episode in a row. So we're on number 6. So 2 out of the first 6 episodes of series 1 of Torchwood go off in a different direction. Now, this is written by Chris Chibnall. So I got to let me go ahead and say this. I think he did an excellent job of creating the horror element. He did an excellent job of creating that kind of suspense that you knew something was going to happen. You know, so he's building on that haunted house feeling, in my opinion. But I think he fell back into a Chibnallism of setting up a something and then by the end just going bleh. You know, just kind of dropping it. Let's talk Flux. You know, we set up these characters and we just kind of drop them. You know, we destroy half the universe and another writer has to come back in and reference it. So, you know, he has a habit of having great ideas, but he has a, in my opinion, and it's a detriment to him of executing those great ideas to some degree.
Now, was the screen credit, did he share writing credit on this with Russell T. Davies?
No, Russell T. Davies was listed as the creator, and he may have been listed as the executive producer, but no, Chibnall was listed as sole writer.
Because on IMDb, it says it was written by RTD and Chris Chibnall, but very often they do that on a show when they're crediting the original idea or whatever. So, like Dalek scripts are often said it's written by Terry Nation and, you know, the person who actually wrote this episode. So, I was thinking maybe that's it, because sometimes in a collaboration, it's hard to make all of those all important pieces work, like building towards a solid climax, you know, sometimes that gets fuzzy, but yeah, I think part of the problem is that it's a good climax, but with a long denouement. That the big climax is we find out these are not aliens. This is just people.
Yeah.
But then we spend a long time unpacking that so that it's like, we're still waiting for the big reveal, but no, that was it. That was it back there. It's just,
we just delved into it a bit.
Yeah. And it ends up deflating that moment a little bit. I don't know.
Clarence, did it deflate for you?
Yes, because I feel like in my mind, I was still thinking, okay, we're still going to get a twist. These are going to be shapeshifters. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something. So it deflated in the sense that I was still looking for some other it or thing. I do think they did kind of wrap up this story as it is. But it was something just still lacking about the whole thing, I kind of feel, because they got arrested. They didn't kill him at the end. They, you know, the police were there to clear things out at the very end of the episode. Glenn has her talk with the one guy. So we kind of got a resolution, but still it felt lacking from the, I guess, the expectation of a Torchwood episode point of view.
So let me ask you guys this. Did anything catch your attention as something familiar as you were watching this episode? And I will give you a hint. It is not a person. Did anything look familiar while watching this episode?
Is it the shooting location?
The location. Anything about the location?
Yeah, you got me.
Clarence?
It reminded me a little bit, very little, of was it 73 yards?
It didn't remind you a little bit. It reminded you exactly of the place where Ruby went to in 76 or 73 yards.
Yeah. Awesome. That's pretty
same exact location.
Nice.
Yep. That was awesome.
Since we're talking about whales, I got to ask this question, because I know this is one of the reasons why I was asking if RTD wrote this, because Chris Chibnall is from the West Country. He's not Welsh, but he's on the other side of, you know, he's geographically close. So he's influenced by some of the culture, but in all these scripts by Russell T. Davies, who's a proud Welshman, I just keep getting this feeling that he doesn't work for the Chamber of Commerce, is what I'm trying to say. He seems to hate Wales and wants everybody else to hate it too.
Wow.
And all of these characters are saying, we're not going to have to go out here in the countryside of Wales, are we? Keep me in Cardiff. And they go out here and then there's people eating people. And they're like, yeah, see, and that's what I expected it to be like out here. Guys, really?
Yeah.
I don't understand the Wales hating, but I don't know.
Well, you know, something that I would have hated, and it would have been even more so in 2024, but this is one reason I don't go camping, is I don't want to be in an area that I don't have internet, that I don't have my gadgets and left, right, and center. And I think that they did a good job of systematically getting rid of their gadgets, either by location or their vehicle getting stolen. Did y'all think that was too on the nose? Or because Clarence, you're kind of laughing. Did you think that was just expected, or what did you think?
I actually liked that scene. Of course, they could have just stole the Range Rover and drove off, but no, they drove over the tent, wrecked the whole campsite, and then drove off. So I got a chuckle out of that, actually. I thought, okay, that's pretty smart. You know, and don't leave the keys in the car next time.
Yeah.
Yep. So let me ask you this, and I will go ahead and answer this question. No, I haven't and don't want to and hope I never have to. But have either of you ever been camping?
Oh, many times.
Okay. Yeah. So when you go camping, do you lock your keys up somewhere? I mean, or put your keys somewhere outside the vehicle, or do you leave them in your vehicle?
I'll take them with me.
Okay. But what if you were out in the country, you would still take them with you?
I think so. I mean, yeah, what they're experiencing is they're in a very remote place.
Yeah.
But they're out there investigating an unknown. So I think it's still dumb to not leave the keys in the car.
Therein lies my point. You're still investigating something. You're not there for your personal growth and development or pleasure or whatever. So, all right. Well, let me ask you guys this. Let's go ahead and go up to the main course of the entire story here.
Yum.
We find out that there are cannibals coming. Did it ruin the episode for you? Did it shock you? Did it what? What did you think? And Lee, I'll start with you on this. What did you think of this cannibal revelation?
It just seems consistent with other things that we've seen on Torchwood. So I didn't say, wow, I didn't think they'd go there. It's just like, okay, now we know what we're dealing with. You find a freezer full of recognizable body parts and you go, okay, all right. And structurally, I noticed that is the midpoint of the episode. That's it's like, okay, from here on, we know what we're dealing with. And, yep. So it's not worse than some other thing. I mean, I'm still shuddering over the guy who's got half turned into a Cyberman. The cyber skull is coming out of the side of his head, you know. Once you've had that,
All right, Clarence, what did you think? Did the cannibal part ruin it for you or not?
Yeah, I don't think that bothered me as much. we knew something was eating humans by the time we got to that reveal point. So I had been sufficiently grossed out by that time already. But, you know, cannibalism does happen. It is a thing we've seen it in movies. It didn't have that much of a shock value to me. I think the real shocker was, as we discussed before, that it wasn't some alien behind all that. You know, even if it was mind control or some little worm in her head or something, I expected something. But yeah, what about you?
You know, this is actually one of the things that I think that will stick with me for this episode, because, you know, I don't get the idea of cannibalism and whatnot, but we know it exists and et cetera and so forth, historical, blah, 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 blah. What stuck in my head was this whole concept of we did this because it was fun. And the idea that some people, for whatever reason, are, and I'm asking this as a question, are just evil. And I don't know if that, but what really just kind of made me want to layer it onto things in 2024, look at how some people get so enwrapped and engrossed in social media, and they see only what that they see, and they believe only what they believe, and that becomes their reality. And I'm wondering if that was akin to what was happening in this little village. If I know that Lee Shackelford eats people and Clarence Brown eats people, then I've got to do that too, because I want to be cool like Lee and Clarence. Right. Or do I feel like I don't want to be eaten, so I've got to do like Lee? You see what I'm saying? Whether wanting to be cool or wanting to be self-preservation, how does somebody rationalize that's okay? So that's my question. Yeah. How does somebody rationalize and go along with, and then become a part of that? And I'm opening it to you both.
And not just rationalize, but we're eagerly embracing it. We're doing this because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think that is, like I said before, I think that is the episode's big idea, is that we're saying, wow, those are human beings do that. Who would, and if you really want to keep investigating the question after who would do that, how often in history have we looked at something and said, what kind of person would do that? But somebody did.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I'm writing a movie right now about, you know, I'm working on a documentary about the end of the Holocaust, and we have U.S. soldiers finally finding out what's been going on. They don't even know the scope of it yet. Mm. They're just seeing a small part of it. And that's the question that they remember 80 years later over and over again. Who would do this? Well, a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of people.
And does that then layer on to what I just said about this episode for the same way? How did those people that were doing the atrocities in the Holocaust, were they some of those same people who did it because somebody else did it, or because they didn't want to be done to themselves? And Clarence, what do you think?
Well, in this episode, I feel like it leaned maybe a little bit more toward, I think they mentioned their parents or grandparents in this episode. It seems like it was something that was passed down that they've just repeated over the years. So, of course, bad things that happened during the Holocaust were stuff that was passed down too. So I guess you can relate it in that way a little bit as well. But yeah, this, you know, not only just treating these people that were passing through their town differently, but they're just taking it a step way further. And yeah, definitely something that was taught, but also, as you can tell from the one character, very much they enjoyed it. So I'm not sure what to think about the whole situation.
Mm. Our friend Wingrace says in the chat, to quote something from another episode of this show, sometimes the doctor must look at this planet and turn away in shame.
Yeah.
That is too true. So I know this, and I don't want to, you know, overcook this particular topic. And yes, but, I'm going to keep going with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to interject real quick. Like, even if it is passed down, they know it's wrong. You know?
Do they? I mean, so what is wrong? I mean, if your parents and your whole culture tell you that this is how it is, what does wrong mean?
True. That's definitely a good point. And what are human rights if you don't have an idea what human rights are? Do you want to tell others? I don't know.
These are all things that we agree on as a people. We all agree that we don't eat each other. You know. Well, if you live in a community where nobody ever agreed that, then... I think that's what Chibnall is going for here, that he wants us to have this conversation, you know. I don't know.
Well, the two of you just single-handedly, or dual-handedly, I should say, proved why I like doing this podcast so much. Because, Clarence, when you interrupted or you broke into the conversation, you absolutely didn't interrupt me, but the question that I was going to next was, perhaps this is a bit nature versus nurture, but are some people predisposed to evil acts? Or can it be environmental, historical, circumstantial, or all of the above? The conversation the two of you just had of what if, you know, like Lisa, you know, what you were saying, is it if that's all you know? You know, if you are a child in the United States and you are, you know, and I don't want to say indoctrinated, but taught that when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you put the hand over the heart. Well, we do that without even thinking to some degree because, hey, it's the Pledge of Allegiance. You stand and put your hand over your heart because that's what we were taught in school. That seems right to us because that's what we were taught. That was societal norms. Well, if societal norm was, well, if you don't like this little kid on the playground, that's dinner. Then that's societal norm.
Yeah. And I'm glad you used the example you did too, because it makes me think immediately. You talk about how easy it is to pervert these things. George Takei's play is called Allegiance, and it's about him remembering one of his vivid memories from being a kid was being made to stand up, put his hand over his heart, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance while he was interned in a concentration camp in America because his family was Japanese. So, you know, and as a kid, his memory is he didn't even question the fact that he was pledging allegiance to the flag of the nation that had him imprisoned. You just do it. You just say what you're told to say. And then at some point you question these beliefs and say, hang on a minute. You know,
and totally going down a rabbit hole here, but at an age of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, do children really know what it means to say allegiance undivided with liberty? Right. And, you know, yes, it's things that we know as adults, but your average, well, now with social media and technology, they may all know that. But you get my point. When we were growing up, we didn't know what allegiance meant.
Yeah.
If you said, I promise something, we might understand.
I know what that is, but pledge allegiance.
Yeah. Pledge was a type of dust eliminating stuff. It was spelled lemony.
We knew lemon pledge.
I put lemons on something called allegiance. But anyway. Wow. I told you I was on fire tonight.
I know. Yeah, I'm looking at your video right now, and you look like Dormammu. It's kind of Ghost Rider.
All right. So let's switch really, really quick before we get into our favorites. Let's talk about Gwen and just Gwen in general. My thought of watching this, and I'll go ahead and enter it first, was, Gwen should just leave Torchwood, say, screw you people. I'm going back to regular job. I have been a couple of months with you. My house has been torn up. I've been possessed. I've almost been killed twice. I've been shot. And my question is, could she have survived that close of a shot from a shotgun?
People do it. I think if you don't go immediately into shock, I think you can.
Got you.
She's made of tough stuff, but yeah, if these the writers of this show, the showrunner, hates whales. That boy, they hate Gwen too.
Poor Gwen. Oh my God.
It's just something new every episode. Like, she's almost been converted into a Cyberman. This episode, she takes a shotgun right in the stomach. I thought, wow.
And doesn't pass out when it
doesn't
they are,
pass out, no.
Yes. Oh, Clarence, what did you think? I mean, your thoughts on Gwen. And I'm going to go ahead and transition it into Gwen and the Owen revelation, which I had totally forgotten about. Thoughts?
Well, they've been setting it up for a couple of episodes. Gwen has been going through it, and she's had it at this point. She is like, I'm seeing these things no one else can see, no one else can know about. My life has been threatened. I've had all these experiences that have been to the brink of death. So she is definitely trauma bonded with her team here, and seemingly more so with Owen, because we know when you get in a situation like that, especially with something you can't really openly talk about, you have to gravitate to the people that are around you. And there's some sort of strange chemistry she has with Owen. I don't know what it is. I hate the pairing myself. But yeah, that's he's turned into her work husband. And poor Reese, man. He doesn't even know. He has no idea what's going on.
I'm glad he doesn't know.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, that to me was a strange pairing, because I don't see any romantic pairingness of the two. I don't see any chemistry. And maybe you're not supposed to. Maybe that's part of the thing is, these are just two unrelatable people that just sink because of circumstances.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I think Clarence, you put your finger right on it. That phrase that I kind of forgotten, trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's a real thing. And, you know, people I know who've been firefighters and emergency service people, yeah, they talk about that. You find yourself, you know, you wake up in a hotel room with one of your partners and you kind of don't remember how you got there. And it's just because we put out that fire and, you know, people died and there we were in the midst of it. And suddenly you're incredibly attractive to me. And it's just like somebody else is acting for you. It's just insane. And yeah, it is. It's this deep current that goes through you when in experiencing a trauma or something like that.
So I'm assuming this is like a coping mechanism that your brain and your body, for that matter, is trying to escape maybe those horrible fill in the blank was, and you try to replace that with something that's not horrible, pleasurable, or comforting. Mm-hmm. Fill in whatever blank you need to fill in, and that's what that is.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to know more about the mechanism, actually, because we're social creatures. You know, that's one of our things wound into our DNA. So maybe we just, when we feel like we're alone, and that's something that Gwen has talked about. There's something deep inside her that reached out for somebody else. I just don't want to be alone.
Somebody you can talk to it with, you know, talk about the trauma with, you know.
Because the arc of this episode is that he really, really violates her space. If Torchwood had HR, she should have called, because, that's just really inappropriate. And I just was disgusted by him. And then He did that thing again that he did in another episode where there's an emergency and bam, he's a doctor and he is there to help her. And he does. And my favorite exchange of dialogue in this episode is the two of them quipping with each other, you know, while this crisis is going on.
And see, that's another level of trauma bonding I'd forgotten about.
Exactly.
You saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So that doesn't go away. So even though she really wanted to punch him in the face earlier, that can turn 180 degrees going through an experience like that. And it all kind of makes sense. It makes emotional sense. But yeah, it's still a surprise. You know, so you get Clarence, to that last shot and you're going, whoa.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Clarence, let me ask you this. Why do you think Owen mentioned the kiss in front of the other members of the team?
He was just being truthful. He kind of sees it. Of course, he has the hots for Gwen. So for him, it was a point of pride. And for her, she's in a relationship with another guy. She's ashamed about it. And poor Tosh, man, she just gets the short end of the stick on the whole thing because he's being a total jerk to her about the whole situation. Yeah. And she obviously has the hots for him. So that's another level of
It was a dick move. Just go ahead and say it was he was being a total dick and it was a dick move.
Yeah, he was a jerk for sure. Yeah.
Clarence, I mean, Lee, what do you think? What did you think whenever he told about the kiss?
I was just stunned because as soon as you get Gwen's reaction to that, you go, what is his problem? Clearly she didn't want him to say that. And when he was made aware of that, he's not apologizing. He doubles down on it. My goodness. Yeah. And you know, I've always said, I just loved Tasha too. I've just always had she's got a place in my heart. So when he says, you know, about spending the night together, he says, if I was going to do it with anybody, it wouldn't be you.
Oh, so.
Dude.
And I can't remember if they make him likable at some point. Maybe they do. But I was thinking as watching this, if you're trying to make us dislike this guy and dislike this character, you're doing a very good job of that.
Mission accomplished.
He's kind of a jerk from the beginning, though.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's not unexpected.
Yeah, true. But I'm looking at it as these are people that you work for. And this whole idea of, hey, man, look at this. Look what I did. You know, that's the thing that you say to your buddies that you don't work with. Hey, I kissed a hot chick at work and blah, 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 blah. You don't say that in front of your freaking coworkers.
And her.
And her. I mean, you know, it was just like turn your stomach. The whole thing just didn't sit well. It was just like a bad meal. That's all I can say.
The bad boy still gets the girl, though.
Oh, there you go.
At least in this episode.
After you've stitched her up, I guess. But yeah. Oh, and we'd also learned that when he was a doctor in practice, the part of it he didn't like was the patients. Yep.
I can understand that. The thing I didn't like about when I was in customer service was I didn't like the customers. But anyway.
That's true.
So
it's a joke we do in college too, is, you know, that sometimes we'll be having a meeting and talking about things we want the department or the university to do. And we'll say, you know, we get a lot more done if it wasn't for all these kids. You know, it's a joke.
All right. So what's not a joke before we get into the dessert is, do either of you have any other items on your list that we have not brought up?
I like Yanto and Tosh being a pair in this episode. I thought that was an interesting pairing. Mm-hmm. Their dynamic playing off each other, I thought was one of the highlights of the episode. Just to see that their personalities are so different. And they were managed to I guess it got caught, so it wasn't good. But I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun seeing them together.
All right, Lee, any other items from you?
Agree. That was another of my favorite parts of it, was just, you know, in a story like this, when you start pairing off, you know, and then the story can follow one pair and then go back to the other. And I kept saying, looking forward to going back to Yanto and Tasha. This is going to be interesting. Because he's now being sort of assimilated into the team proper. He's not the boy who gets, he's not the T-boy anymore.
Yeah. A little shivery at the end, too, when he let Tosh get away. I mean, he kind of, you know, took the hit for her so she can get away. Yeah. I thought was good.
And speaking of the hit, as a little bit of background, you know where I'm going with that, Lee?
No.
The reason that he got hit like he did, the cast was, this was in one of the things that I was reading for background of this. The cast had gone out the night before and he had, I'm not going to say he had gotten drunk, he being the actor, but he had fallen and hit his head and in actuality. So the scar that they had, they couldn't cover up. So they wrote it into the story that he got hit on the head to explain the scar. Nice. Excuse me. So
Nice. You got it there. Make use of it. Right?
There you go.
Tenderize that meat, man. Tenderize it.
All right. So for the next course is our favorite quote. Lee Shackelford, what say ye?
Well, after their antagonism, after their tension, then Gwen gets shot. And she, you know, getting a belly full of buckshot is not lethal, but sepsis can set in. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that this really could kill her. And it hurt. It's agonizing. So something has to be done immediately. And he jumps to it. And that's got to change the way you feel about him a little bit for the better. And he is trying to, he's respecting her. You know, you can do this. You're going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. And I think you have to respect that too. It's sort of like, wow, what's going on here? And she responds to that. And she trusts him. You know, she's in a world of pain, but you can see her surrendering to him. She's going to stop fighting him. And then he's got a shot with an anesthetic in it. So he picks up the syringe and he says, all right, you want to quip about feeling a small prick? He's going to give her the chance to make the joke. And she says, no, but thanks for offering. And he gives her the shot.
Oh, boy.
It's just that little joke. In that moment, it's just sublime piece of writing and great performances from both.
And that totally went over my head until you explained it to me.
Quip about feeling a small prick.
Yeah.
No, but thanks for offering.
All right. Clarence Brown, favorite quote.
Mine is going to be, we talked about it already when they're putting up the tents and Owen can't seem to figure his tent out. And Ty says, you need a hand getting it up, Owen. And he says, if I did, I wouldn't ask you.
Oh, hurt me.
Wow.
All right. So something similar for me. Ianto says, that's what you get for driving in the countryside. And Kyle says, that's why I don't go camping. All right. I'll start with favorite scene. My favorite scene actually was Gwen getting shot. Because it made me think back, what would I have thought in 2006? And my initial thought probably was, oh, characters might die.
Mm-hmm. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, we've already killed Susie. So, you know, there we go.
And Jack.
And Jack. Again. All right. So that was mine, was the shot, go getting shot. So, Lee, favorite scene?
Clarence mentioned it earlier, and I just love the harvester stealing the SUV, running over their tent, and then all of these kind of superhero characters having to run in futility, like they're going to catch up with the SUV.
Yeah.
Chasing along after it. It's just so pathetic, but it's what would happen, you know.
They're long gone by now.
Yeah, it's like...
All right, Clarence, favorite scene?
Favorite scene. I think I rather very much like the scene where was it Gwen and Owen and the two harvesters and the cop, the nephew, the cop, I guess, they were having the little standoff. And I was kind of, I liked the scene, but I also was surprised that Gwen backed down so easily. We know these folks are killing people, right? You're going to lower your gun. I'm like, okay, she just learned how to use a gun recently, but still. You're going to lower your gun and these folks are eating folks. We know this by now. So I liked the little standoff scene. I thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't expect them to back down as easily as they did.
Mm. All right. Clarence, I'm going to leave it with you. Final rating. What say ye?
Boy, I'm going to give this 3.5 snogs out of 5.
Mm, okay. Lee, final rating.
Balance the wow wow.
Okay.
It's a line.
It's canonized.
Let's see here. All right. I'm going to give this a 3.5 much better discussion than I thought this would be, because Kyle wants to keep it PGs out of five because he could go another route. But 3.5,
good it luck must, with that.
Yeah. So at least, you know, Owen did get it up to 3.5. So there you go. So 3.5 it is.
He needed a little help. Yeah.
He did. Before we go, I do want to give a shout to Larry Irby is in our chat, and you know, kudos to Larry for being here. Good to see you. I did see Tasha a little bit earlier. Hello, 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 Tasha. And also Wynn Grace, thank you again for being here. Jamie Johnson, thank you also for being here. And Larry says he needs a Torchwood revival. And of course, Wynn Grace agrees. And I wouldn't mind seeing a Torchwood revival.
Yes. It's a chance for John Barrowman to redeem himself in the public eye. So.
Yes, indeed.
Well, can I give an honorable mention in that aspect real quick?
Sure.
Wynn Grace mentions that Jack gives a backstory about, you know, he used to be a torture guy back in the day. I thought that was interesting. But also, we have to mention that Jack barges in the barn with the, what did he have, a tractor? I don't even know what it was. And he surgically disables everyone in there without killing them. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's just a second where I was thinking, hey, I don't think he knows who the good guys and the bad guys are right now. But he shot everybody who wasn't a member of his team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And I thought, well, I guess that's let God sort them out. Thinking, but you're right. He's not killing them.
Yeah.
He was disabling everybody. He was disempowering. So he's good. He's good. He's had a long time to practice.
Maybe they just turned his stomach. You know, he just, you know.
Yeah. You know, one man's meat is another man's poison.
You know, this gives a new, new meaning to the Great British Bake Off. Oh,
yeah.
Well, for everyone listening, before, you know, I move on to another course, or all I can say is, hey, if you're listening to it, and are you ready for this, guys? Are you ready for this? This just came to me.
Okay.
If you've listened to this and you've made it this far, hey, you just got your just desserts. And with that, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.